armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
to
any idea?
Really, this
you
is what
have
you're doing?
Any
this
idea?
Is what
you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. Do you know what listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on YouTube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. It's going to be a long fall for everyone who hates Bama, hates Georgia, hates Michigan, hates Ohio State. The AP poll is out.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Hope you're having a great day. I am a busy day for me on Mondays with us doing the Braves Country brunch. 11 a.m. Eastern, if you missed that. No worries. We play it as the pregame show on Monday nights, kind of do a double dip there to get people. Basically, what you'll notice on Mondays is that the Atlanta Braves, they don't take a back seat to anybody, but it is really difficult to squeeze everything in when you have this much going on with the world of football, the world of baseball. You're going to have the playoffs coming soon, and the AP poll is out. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take our sign down real quick. It'll go right back up as we're trying to get those 100 likes. Let's get them early so we can get that sign off, because we got Braves Yankees tonight. So if you're just driving around or whatever and you want to dip into YouTube real quick and hit that like button, Braves Country HD, 100 likes, and we take the sign down for every game. The Georgia Bulldogs are number one in the land. No surprise there. Defending champs, back-to-back champs, are going to try to go back-to-back-to-back. And they've got a really easy schedule this year. They're going to be favored in every game. They've also got a really good team this year. So a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B. And I would suspect that Georgia is going to find their way in the playoffs, come hell or high water. I would be surprised if they're not. We're doing Georgia Day next Friday. So today is Buffalo Bills Day. We're doing the Buffalo Bills. Hello to all Bills Mafia today. Tomorrow, I have the schedule in front of me somewhere. Tomorrow is the Auburn Tigers. And Thursday, we're doing the Jacksonville Jaguars. Friday, for you Florida State and Clemson fans, it's Florida State Clemson Day. So we do these mini camps. It doesn't engulf the entire show. We just kind of talk a little bit and make some predictions. But we've been doing this for a long time, and it's one of our favorite things to do on the show as we get ready for the football season. You just kind of take a peek at these teams. So with all that going on, we're going to be reacting to the weekend Falcons game. We're going to be reacting to the Titans game, the Buccaneers, the Jaguars, all the Southern teams. And it's hard to squeeze everything in. So on Monday mornings and on Thursday mornings throughout the fall, we're going to bring you Braves Country Brunch. And it goes 11 a.m. Usually somewhere between 30 to 45 minutes, depends all what's popping. I always say I'm going to get it done in a half hour, and there's always way too much to talk about with the Braves. So it usually goes about 45 minutes. And there you have that. So into what is crack-a-lackin' in the world of sports. Holy cow. So it's real now. Now it's real. Now, we already had the coaches poll. And a lot of people scoff at the coaches poll. I don't know if I'm actually in that group. I believe that both polls are kind of the same, essentially. They're just a guessing game. But they're a good talking point to get the fans going on college football as it gets rolling. It gives you a reason. People say, oh, the polls are worthless. Wait till week 9 or whatever the hell goofy number they have. Here's the thing. Not only has it always been done this way, but it's always been done this way for a very good reason. There's too many teams in college football. So to have any kind of a litmus for fans to get excited about, to get them looking forward to the beginning of the season, you didn't have anybody ranked. What are going to draw your eyes to the screens other than I want to watch my team, right? So there is a good reasoning for it. And I know a lot of people think it's a lot of junk. It's not a lot of junk. I'm telling you right now, it's a lot of good reasoning for the television programmers to know what games to put on, games of interest, et cetera, et cetera. And it's good talking about it. It doesn't hurt anything because by the end of the season, if you run the table, if you do the damn job, the cream will rise to the top. So it's not the end all beats off if you're not ranked. It doesn't assure you a championship slot, a playoff title run if you're ranked high. It just shows you what's in front of you. So right now, for those of y'all that are listening to radio and can't see the screen, by the way, we do want to say hi to everybody on WQEE 99.1 FM here in Atlanta, our mothership, and then, of course, the CBS affiliates that Jason and company pick us up. I think we're in 3 other markets today. So, here's the deal. Georgia's number 1, Michigan's number 2, Ohio State 3, Alabama 4, and number 5 is LSU. Not big shock there. Pretty much mirrors the coaches poll. You got the next group, which is LSU 6, USC 7, Penn State 8. Why is that important? Because Florida State and LSU, 5 versus 8, they are going to face off first game of the season, Sunday night, September 3rd. How about that? That's a big day, by the way, in the sports world, in the Southern sports world. Braves and Dodgers are going at it that weekend, and college football is going to be cranking up. I've got a really busy day on the September 3rd because I've got Braves-Dodgers at 4 p.m., and then I'm hoping I'm off in time. I've got a couple of obligations to hit a couple of stations to talk. Not only do I have one now on the docket now to talk Braves baseball in reaction to the Dodgers series, but then also going on to a couple of stations to talk Florida State LSU. So that's going to be a busy, busy weekend. And then somehow I'm squeezing in on the 2nd. We're going to do our fantasy football kickoff, and that's a lot of fun. That will only be on Braves Country HD. Why? Because it's not a good radio show. It just isn't. We sit around. We're looking at – we tried to turn a radio show in years past, and I'm telling you, it's brutal. You need the screen. You need to know what we're looking at because there's a lot of guys rifling through trying to make their picks, and it's a fun, fun league that we do. It's a free league. We're thinking about adding a couple of viewers, so if there's any interest, y'all hit me up to add a couple of viewers to this. And it's a free league that you just go in and play, and the winner gets a trophy. And it's a goofy trophy. I think we've gone to rings recently, but it's fun. It's fun bragging rights, right? So that's why we do it. We'll do it for baseball again this year and this coming or next year. And next year I hope to include a couple of viewers on that. So if there's interest, let me know. I'll tell you how to hit us up and away from there. The rest of the poll, number see, make sure I'm reading this right. Number 11 is Texas, 12 is Tennessee. I think the Volunteers are probably a tad underrated, to be honest with you. I think they're going to be rolling. I think Joe Milton's going to be flying. That offense is going to be rocking and rolling. I think they're just a touch underrated. Notre Dame is 13. I don't know what to make of Notre Dame this year. Let me turn off the sound effect. It can't be crack-a-lacking that long, right? I don't know about y'all, but any fire I've ever built, that thing dies quickly. So Notre Dame, I got to see how they play against Ohio State. They've got three big games this year. If Notre Dame runs the table, there's no reason why Notre Dame can't be in the playoffs. It's a big ask. If Notre Dame wins two of three, they're going to have an argument. Now, Notre Dame needs to join a conference. I get that. If they don't join a conference, it's going to get ugly quickly because they're going to be the odd man out. They're going to be on the outside looking in. I get all that. But going into this season was I'm focusing on, if they win two out of three, there is a very good chance that they could make it. They play Clemson, they play Ohio State, and they play Southern Cal. I'll say that again. Clemson, Ohio State, and Southern Cal. All three of those teams are preseason top 10. So if the three of those teams have a good season, very good season, and Notre Dame takes two out of three, they're going to have an argument. What's always going to hurt Notre Dame until they join probably the Big Ten is they don't have a conference title. What they do on the regular season is all they've got. They don't have that extra push. And because all the other outlets are not in bed with Notre Dame, they used to, Notre Dame ruled the roost because they wanted Notre Dame to be on television. They wanted Notre Dame as highly ranked as possible. They wanted Notre Dame in championship games because they felt like it had a huge following. I don't think that following is quite there anymore. It's still a very popular team, but it's now very sectionalized. Used to, Notre Dame was the national program, but nowadays, with the strength of the SEC and other Southern teams over the last several decades, I guarantee you ask a kid who's grown up watching college football, we'll say a kid around 25 years old, they would scoff at you if you told them Notre Dame was big time. Because they haven't been. They've had a couple of seasons, and they're still a program to be reckoned with, but Notre Dame needs to join a conference. The rest of it looks like this. You got Utah. Utah starts their season off against the Gators, by the way. Gators have not been ranked in any of the polls. Who else we have for that? Oregon. Of course, Oregon's heading to the Big Ten. Kansas State, TCU, Oregon State, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, another team heading to the SEC. North Carolina with May coming back at quarterback. That should be a fun team. Ole Miss should be a fun team to watch. Texas A&M, they're 23rd. I don't know what to make of them. I got to see it. I got to see it to believe it. And it's kind of cool that the Tulane's sitting there at 24, Iowa 25. I think Tulane, what they did last year and what they've started to build there, I think that's a respectable preseason ranking for them. But you got a lot of teams that have to basically put up or shut up time, and that's what we have in the world of college football. All right, let's go ahead and take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the Braves. Some things going on there and things going on in the National Football League along with the rest of Major League Baseball. The power rankings are back out. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Get everybody's reaction to that. You're listening to Braves Country HD. Keep it locked in here on WQEE and 99.1 FM Metro Atlanta.
I'm bad at sex. There's a lot of thrashing and thumping, but nothing really gets done. I'm like a broken dishwasher.
Armchair Quarterback Radio. We cover the world of baseball from start to finish.
Baerga is 0-for-3. Left center field. Grissom on the run. The team of the 90s has its world championship. Yes. A liner off Nagy's glove into center field. The third.
Vicious. Fittingly with a throw, and the Yankees have done it again. Number 24. They are the world champions of baseball in 1998. Chance of a lifetime for Luis Gonzalez. 2-2, bottom of the ninth, game seven of the World Series. Bases loaded. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions. In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Armchair.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Take the scenic route in the new Hyundai Santa Fe, the family SUV with available H-Track all-wheel drive to help you travel way off the beaten path. Find new adventures together in the Hyundai Santa Fe.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country. Welcome back, Braves Country. Got a couple of comments in the chat, so let's hit those up real quick. TCU did not get better. TCU actually got worse. KT says TCU beat Michigan and got better. They did not get better. TCU lost their quarterback. He is in the National Football League. They lost quite a few players, but they're going to have a chance to show and shine. First week of the season, TCU is playing Colorado in Deion Sanders' new program. Now, Colorado's not going to be very good this year, but that's a fun game to start with, right? The team that got their doors blown off in the national championship game, and Deion Sanders' Colorado team, which is in a full-blown rebuild. But he's revamped. They're going to be more talented this year, that's for sure, with Colorado. But that's a big ask for them to turn around that quickly. What was the other thing? Was Irish, those teams, Cupcake. No, the Irish are actually playing three really, really good opponents. Now, the rest of their schedule, you can poke holes in that. But look, let's be honest, even like an SEC schedule, not every game is Alabama versus Georgia. There's a lot of Vanderbilts in there. There's a lot of, you know, Mississippi State's in there, Missouri's. Florida's not going to be very good this year. So it's not like that the entire SEC is the AAA version of the NFL. But granted, the problem that Notre Dame has is if they slip up, they're done. They can probably lose a close game of one of those three that I mentioned, three top 10 opponents in Clemson, USC, and Ohio State. If they lose more than one, they're done. If they get blown out in one, they could be done. But let's say they win two of those three, but then drop some team that everyone believes they should win, beat. It's a death sentence. So that's the problem being Notre Dame. You need to get into a conference to help your chance. The other question was from Gilbert. why did all the teams leave the Pac-12 after USC and UCLA left? It would just be about... So the reason, Gilbert, I don't know if you saw this or not, but I'll just catch everyone at speed. It was money. Always follow the money, right? No matter what the hell we're talking about, follow the money. Whenever they're trying to scare you on the news about something, trying to figure out what they're trying to get you to buy, follow the money. So the Pac-12 crumbled because... And basically, you can put this on the commissioner and all the powers that be in the Pac-12. You can put this on them lickety-split. What would really drove it home that they basically said, what in the hell are we talking about here, right? Why are we going over here? Why are we staying in the Pac-12? And it's kind of the reason why Florida State and Clemson are planning on leaving the ACC. The new media right deal that they were going to have, it's going to be gone now, but the one they were going to have with Apple, God, can you imagine how bad that would have been, Apple trying to cover college football? Ugh. If it's anything like their baseball coverage, holy cow. Apple can do it. They just got to hire baseball people. Quit hiring schmoes that are trying to turn it into MTV Lite, right? But Apple came in with a deal that was going to pay each team about $23 million a year to cover all Pac-12 sports. That is dwarfed in comparison to what the SEC makes, and it's not even in the stratosphere of what the Big Ten is set up to make. So that's why they said, bye-bye, and they left and went to the Big Ten. Now, some of that was in response to the fact that the UCLA and USC brands had left the building. But they came back and basically someone out there thought that was a good deal and we ought to take what we can get. And Washington and Oregon, along with Colorado going to the Big 12 and whatnot, they said, no, we're better than that. And that's where we're at. So the Pac-12 is dust. It's going to it basically imploded on itself. And that's why the Pac-12 is gone. It's a shame. Because I like the fact that you have these regional rivalries, these regional conferences. But the one thing that we're going to gain from this, that a lot of folks probably haven't thought about, we're going to get some fun matchups coast to coast. I'm excited to see what the Big Ten is going to look like next year. You're going to have USC, Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, Washington, Penn State. Like these are going to be weekly. And I'm all in favor of getting rid of most of your non-conference games. Let's just get some couple, we'll say three power conferences. Everyone knock heads. And you'll have enough of the at-larges in a 12-man playoff to let's roll. I'm perfectly fine with that. I probably would have argued against it a handful of years ago, but I'm fine with it now. Because it gets brutal. There were weeks last year and every year We do a Saturday morning kickoff show, right? We've been doing it. This is actually going to be our 10th season. And the Saturday morning kickoff show, there were weeks last year where you were looking for something to talk about for college football because there weren't that many great matchups. It's a little better this year. It's one of the reasons why we combined college football and the NFL into that kickoff show into one day. Mainly so that some of us could actually get a break from being on the air. But the other thing was you mesh it together and you really got something. But if you're looking on any given Saturday, and for that matter, any given Sunday, there were weeks with bye weeks and everything else involved that you're like, my God, what are we going to talk about today? So if you get the Big Ten with 20 teams, you get the Southeastern Conference with 20 teams, and let's say the Big 12 goes to 20 teams, that's 60 of the best programs in the country. I don't know what's going to happen with the ACC. I don't think it's going to be good football-wise. I think they'll hold it together with all the other sports. But you're talking about then, let's say you have that, and let's say you start playing 10 conference games. Well, it won't happen overnight, but let's say you get to that point. And then you've got the two random games that you can have at largest. One of them's probably going to be like a regional game that you've always played that you want to keep on the books, like a let's say Florida State heads to the Big Ten, Florida State and Florida could stay intact. If Florida State goes to the SEC, moot point, they'd put them on the schedule for the conference. But let's take Georgia. Let's say Georgia, obviously they're not going anywhere, and let's say Georgia Tech stays in the ACC and doesn't get swallowed up by something else. You would still open that up for two games where the Southeastern Conference teams, a team like Georgia, could play Georgia Tech, and then they still have one non-conference game that can be homecoming, where you invite in some schmo, you pay him a boat ton of money, you beat the brakes off of him, and all the alumni can sit there and lock arms and sing Kumbaya. But that's where we're heading, because there's a reason why college football's numbers or viewing numbers are not as big as the NFL and Major League Baseball when you put it all together. Yeah, they have nights, but I'm talking when you put it all together. The main reason is there's too many mismatches. You start getting rid of those mismatches when you start having the top 60 to 70 to 80 teams in the country squaring off. But the reason why the Pac-12 left, they left because, or well, the Pac-12 crumbled. It happened because the money. 23 compared to the SEC and what the Big Ten is going to. Now, I think the SEC will eventually get back up to the Big Ten, but I'm talking about currently. Their future deal is going to absolutely smash that number, and you'd be a fool to stay. And because you got everybody to leave and the conference crumbles, you're not going to pay for any exit fees. That's what Florida State and Clemson would love to do. They would love to have a mass exit. If they have eight teams leave the ACC, they wouldn't have to pay any of these fees. The problem is, how do you get all these other teams to leave when you have programs? You don't have eight programs that the big boys want. Now, I can make the argument that some of these programs would be attracted to the Big 12. Or heck, maybe they just start their own conference. But that's kind of a hard sell. But August 15th is the big day, so that's tomorrow. If Florida State, Clemson, if they do not make announcements by the end of the day tomorrow that they are leaving, they will not be able to play in a different conference in 2024. It would be then wait till 2025. I thought we might get some kind of big announcement over the weekend. It didn't happen. Thought it could be like a Friday news drop. It didn't happen like it did for the Pac-12 teams. So we'll see. We will see. There's a lot of grumbling, a lot of rumbling, but right now there's just a lot of stumbling. So there you have that. All right, Major League Baseball, the power rankings are out. I thought this would be a good thing to talk about because the Braves come back in. Look, we lose that game last night. I know I went over it this morning, but we lose that game last night. It was one game in a four-game series. And unlike playing in the SEC or Big Ten, you don't win 12 out of 13 games all the time. There's times where you drop a few because these are professional athletes. So, plus baseball, much more difficult sport because it just takes a starting pitcher to get you off your game. Either A, you face a really good one, or B, like last night, we had a really bad one out there going. I would hope we're not going to see much more of Yonny Chirinos, but I'm not convinced that we won't see him one or two more times. I'm just not convinced by it. I think it's going to be a thing where the Braves are going to go out here. They're going to try to eat as many innings they can because they've got such a big lead in the division. And as fans, we hate seeing it. We hate hearing it. But essentially, we're at a point where they talked about Kyle Wright today, if you missed that. And Kyle Wright, the goal right now is still about a month away. He has been moved down to Florida to be stretched out, so he's at least in that. But I believe this was calculated the whole time. I believe they believe that he could get through around 10 starts and not have any issues. It might be something where he has to have something cleaned up in the offseason, right? But they're going to go out there, get him stretched out. They're going to get him several innings between now and the end of the season. But if he gets perfect, perfect outings and everything, and nothing goes back, they don't have to shut him down. They don't have to. Best case scenario, we're talking about a month away. It's August 14th. He's been sent down to Florida. We'll say, let's just give him the benefit of the doubt and say he could be back September 10th. I don't think he would be, but let's say September 10th. Even if he's back September 10th, which is a Sunday, so we'll push that to that Monday. You're talking about getting a start on that Monday, getting two starts there that week, one more start the following week, and another four starts. It's more likely he's going to be back around the 15th. Even still, let's say he goes Friday the 15th, and he goes, well, obviously one start on that week, one more in the middle of the following week, and two more starts to end the season. That's still four starts. Somewhere between three and four starts is what we're going to get. And by that time in the year, they're probably not going to be important starts, but they're probably okay with that. They're probably okay with that because they're probably looking at it as we want him to get work. We want him to hone his craft, to get his stuff down. Remember, the last several games of the season, we faced the Nationals in two series, and the Cubs are sandwiched in between. And depending on what the Cubs do between now and then, they might have pushed their chips out and said, well, we'll get them next year. Now, the Cubs are still in it right now, but if they don't play well down the stretch, 3.5 can turn into 6.5, and with a week to go, it's over, right? So, that's what you have going on with that. And if you're looking at Kyle Wright, Jesse Chavez is just now talking about starting to throw off to get some work in. Remember, it's less than 2 weeks ago. They were talking about he's walking around with a cane in the clubhouse. Now, I want to know how that turned from a bruise to walking around with a cane. We were lied to. Once again, follow the money. I don't know why they gained from that, but we were lied to. And it looked like a nasty ball that came off his shin. And I don't think he's putting it on. I don't think it was something that they're just playing possum because they were trying to count his innings. There were celebrations in the bullpen, home runs being hit, where the guys were picking him up, both legs, and celebrating, dancing around a couple weeks after that injury. So I think there was more to it. We'll probably never know. If we do, it'll probably be later in the calendar year, but that is not going to be a pretty, pretty thing if we can't get Jesse Chavez back. Because I'm going to tell you right now, a couple of things I want to talk about. I don't know what's going on with Colin McHugh, but he's not the Colin McHugh from last year. And he's just kind of lofting him in. He's getting smoked, smacked around. Now, that wasn't all his fault last night. There's a big, big thing that was going on there last night where Yanni was left in way too long, right? So I'm not putting that all on him. He comes in and inherits a bases loaded situation. It's not an easy thing to do. For those of y'all who may have never pitched, and I'm seriously not anyone's ever pitched in a major league game that's watching or listening. It's not an easy thing to do to come rolling out of the bullpen, bases loaded, and just drop it down. Knock it out. But he has not been pitching well. And I can't keep apologizing for him. He just hasn't been playing well at all. And so with all that being said, Atlanta We'll get the lineup here in a second. Atlanta, when we get everybody back, I don't think there's much of a chance that Colin McHugh is going to be on that playoff roster. He hasn't pitched well. Because if you get Dylan Lee back and if you get Jesse Chavez back, how can you with a straight face say, yeah, let's put McHugh in? The only thing he would be left in for would be a long inning guy in a game that was out of hand one way or the other. And you're doing it because you like him in the clubhouse, which everybody does, and you trust the fact that he's going to go about his business as a professional going into the playoffs, and you don't have to worry about some youngster freaking out, right? But the Braves have a veteran cast. I don't see how Colin McHugh is going to be in that thing, in that bullpen. Not at this rate. He's going to have to really turn a switch. The lineup is out. Nicky Lopez is batting ninth and playing second base. They said that Ozzy was cramping. I'm not buying that. I think there's something more to it. You saw him limping. But who knows if we're going to get the straight scoop. It seems like there's a lot of cryptic things that go on, and they could just be letting him hydrate, get back to normal. Braves got in late last night, as expected. Game didn't end till what was it, around 10, 11 o'clock last night. You know they didn't get on that plane till about 12:30, 1 o'clock at the best case scenario, which puts them back in their beds somewhere early morning today. When you were getting up for you know, getting yourself a cup of coffee and whatnot, most of your Braves players hadn't been asleep long at all. So they're coming into this, and I say this because I caution you as Braves fans, don't freak out if we look like garbage tonight. It is why I would have preferred to see them go a little more all in and try to slam the door last night, because tonight is going to be a crapshoot. Even with Max Fried being on the mound, that team is going to be tired. Now, Max Fried would have left early to get back early so he got some rest, being the starting pitcher for today. Usually how they do it. But the team that was out there playing baseball last night, there is a fatigue factor. People forget these are human beings. They think it's a video game. Things like MLB The Show and Madden have kind of ruined the idea of people understanding these are humans on the field. They think you just plug them in and away they go. And they're going to come into tonight probably a little tired. Yes, the Yankees played yesterday. They played a day game in Florida. They would have flown into Atlanta. They were probably in the hotel room by first pitch or somewhere close to it of the Mets-Braves game last night. It's two totally different situations. So, for folks who didn't catch the game last night, Ozzy came out of the game late in the ball game. Nicky Lopez came in to fill in, and they called it cramping. And it could be cramping, and they could just be giving him an extra day of rest. But we won't get the straight skinny on that till maybe after the game, because they'll give you a lot of coach speak going into it, and then you'll have to see how it unfolds. Because they don't want to give the advantage to the New York Yankees clubhouse. If the Yankees clubhouse think that he's not available, that can change the way they're going to attack the ball game. But right now, the way it looks, we'll get the lineup here in 1 second, but right now it's Lopez hitting in the nine hole and playing second base. All right, power rankings. Wanted to hit this up real quick because I do believe that these power rankings, this is Ben Verlander. His power rankings are a little different than the MLB power rankings. We'll compare them in a second. But Ben's got Braves 1, the Orioles 2, Dodgers 3, The difference between that and the MLB one, they're flip-flopped. They've got Braves 1, Dodgers 2, Baltimore 3. Texas 4, Houston 5. The number 6 team is Toronto. Then you've got the Cubs, the Rays, the Phillies, and Seattle. Now, Ben doesn't do his very scientifically. He's just a fan that puts them out there, and I respect that. But it's a little different than what the MLB. And you'll notice that because Braves 1, Dodgers 2, this is the MLB ranks. Orioles 3, Rangers 4. They've got the Rays at 5 and the Astros sitting there at number 6. Phillies at 7. Blue Jays 8. Mariners 9. In the Brewers at 10. What I say about that, what I would change about all of this, first of all, you can't put the Cubs in the top, God bless, the top 7. They've been playing terribly. And they're now 3.5 out. So how are you going to have the Cubs, who are 3.5 back of the Brewers in their own division, how the hell are you going to have them behind them? So, these are the, I call these Stephen A. type rankings where he's just trying to get attention, right? And fair enough. But if I'm doing this legitimately, you want to talk about what's really going on in Major League Baseball. The Braves are 1 and the Orioles are 2. It's the 2 best records in baseball. Get out of here. They also both lead their division, so there's no argument there. One is in the National League, one leads in the American League. I got to go there. I would have the Dodgers at number 3. I do agree with Ben on that. Number 4, I'm probably putting the Rangers there. I don't see why I would not. You got to be leading your division, in my opinion. So the difference is 5 and 6, and they've got the Rays in there. They've got the Astros in there, the Phillies, the Blue Jays. None of these teams are leading their division. So a team that has been playing very good baseball of recent, if I'm going to put a 5th team in there past the Rangers, I'm going to lean with Minnesota and then Milwaukee. Because my top 6 teams are going to be the 6 division leaders. Because when it's all said and done, they're going to get home field. And that's what a power ranking realistically is, how far you think they're going to get in the playoffs. Now, after that, when you talk about the wild card teams, I've probably got Philly just a hair past Tampa right now, because Tampa just sent Wander Franco, if you listen to the Sports Flash, on to the they put him on the list where he's not going to be playing for the next, well, foreseeable future. If you miss that little tidbit, it's called the restricted list. Sorry, I couldn't think of it. He's on the restricted list. You missed that little tidbit. He is being linked to a 14-year-old girl on social media. I don't know if it was Instagram, what it was, where it appears that they have a relationship going on. You can fill in the blanks in your head. And I guess it's been going on for quite some time. And I think she posted something on social media. He is 22 years old. Obviously, he's a Major League Baseball player. And I don't care what your cultural differences are. He's 22 years old, and he's dating an 8th grader. So that's what he's being accused of. I don't know it to be fact. God, I don't want any actual proof. But they're investigating it. And so because of that, I can't put the Tampa Bay Rays are a much different team without him. So they get that cleaned up. I don't think we see him the rest of the year. I really don't. I think this is going to be one of the things that Major League Baseball is going to try to sweep under the rug. And they're going to try to figure it out in the offseason. It'll be a Friday news drop type of thing. But That's a problem. That is a huge problem. You're being linked. The one picture I saw was him basically snuggling, nuzzling up, and it's not one of these situations where he can claim he thought she was older. She's a young-looking lady. Young lady who looks young. So there's going to be no, this, well, I thought she was 20. No. So that's a huge problem. But back to the actual baseball. If I'm ranking the teams, the wild card teams at this point, it's Philly. It's Tampa with the asterisk, because I don't know what they're going to be without Wander. And I know they're not very flamboyant and flashy, but man, I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that the San Francisco Giants have figured out baseball. And even though they don't have a lot of household names, they win games, and I'd probably put them at number three. And then after that, I think you've got to probably lean with the Toronto Blue Jays, with Houston right there as well. I think Houston will get it figured out, but right now they're not playing great baseball. But you got to figure they're going to get into the playoffs, and if they get into the playoffs, it's a new season. And they definitely have the experience, and they definitely got the better deal in that trade with the Mets. Verlander is much better than Scherzer at this point. So if those two square off, to me, it's advantage Houston. But Texas right now is leading the division. Hold on to that, because they've only got, what is it, a two and a half game lead. And I think the Astros have a very good chance of chasing them down. Rangers are a good team. Rangers don't have the pedigree that the Astros do. And though they've got some guys with some experience, Scherzer has lost it. He'll have dead arm, or there'll be something going on in the playoffs. And then, what's the other guy? Montgomery. He's solid. He's not scaring anybody. I'll take that. I'll take Houston's offense over Texas's offense by a slight hair. But regardless, we'll just call it even Steven. And the starting pitching is much deeper than Texas. And Astros have kind of been middling around. Look, they've been playing good baseball, but they're not blowing the doors off, right? And still, they're 68-51. They're 17 over .500. What? So there you have that. Let me go ahead and get the lineup to you out here, as the Atlanta Braves have put the lineup out. And we're going to get that rolling here. We're here in 1 second. Go ahead and put it on the screen. But I don't know about how y'all feel, but essentially I feel like, to be the man, you got to beat the man, and the Rangers ain't the man yet. They want to be the man. There's a lot of chirping in Ranger country, but you don't have your best pitcher. He gone. No matter what you think, Jacob DeGrom was the most talented pitcher in that organization. They hope to get him back next year, but I'd see that to believe it with his injury history. They bring in Max Scherzer, who's a shell of his former self. Nathan Eovaldi's on the shelf. They expect him back, but who knows what the heck's going on there. So you got a lot of big, big questions heading into this. But the Braves starting lineup tonight. Go ahead and get into that real quick. Ronald Acuna Jr. is leading off. You've got Michael Harris II. Is going to be batting second. So it's a little different there. And if you're just joining us, it is because Ozzie Albies is out of the lineup. He left early last night, around the eighth inning, I think it was. And they're calling it a cramp. Hopefully that's all it is. And hopefully they're just getting him hydrated, exhaustion, et cetera, et cetera. hot this kind of year, hot time of year. Hopefully it's just that. But it's Acuna, it's Harris, it's Riley, it's Olsen, and Travis d'Arnaud is behind home plate tonight. It's been pretty much down the stretch. It's been every other day. It's been d'Arnaud, Murphy, d'Arnaud, Murphy. There for a while, it was about 2 to 3 games Murphy to d'Arnaud. But Murphy, I think, is just showing signs of wearing down in a long season, and they want to keep him fresh for the playoffs. Ozuna is back in the sixth spot. I hate that. It worked last night. He had a bases-clearing double. What the hell are you doing? Travis d'Arnaud is a solid hitter. He is not going to scare anybody, and you can pitch around Matt Olson. I don't know why they can't figure that out in the analytics team. Maybe it's because they've never caught a fly ball in their life. But Marcell Ozuna in the five spot, greater than when Travis d'Arnaud's in there. Nothing against d'Arnaud at all. It's just more of a threat. You have to face. You have to with Olson in the four spot, and Ozuna in the five. They're having to pitch to him. He's like, well, we don't want to walk him because Ozuna is going to slam one. With d'Arnaud, they say, you know what? We'll take our chances. We'll pitch around him. We'll intentionally walk him, and maybe he'll bang into a double play. After that, it's Rosario, Arcia, Nicky Lopez, batting ninth and playing second. Max Fried tonight. More about this we hit on the other side of the break, and Tones is on the way. We got the college football realignment draft. It's Buffalo Bills Day. And more baseball talk. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country HD. Keep it locked in here on 99.1 FM and your CBS Sports affiliates. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com. At Braves Country.
Armchair. You're listening to the Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Flash. Got a pretty good slate for a Monday night in August for Major League Baseball. It all gets going. The big one, pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves. 7:20 first pitch right here on Braves Country HD. Find us on YouTube today. It's youtube.com/@Braves Country. Atlanta welcomes in the New York Yankees, who are 60-58 on the year. Clark Schmidt will be on the bump for the Yanks. He's 8-6 with a 4.23 ERA. It's Max Fried Day for your Atlanta Braves, 3-1 with a 2.5 ERA. Braves come in 11 games in front of the Philadelphia Phillies. Magic number is 34. Other games in action tonight: Astros at the Marlins, Framber Valdez versus Braxton Garrett. And the Pirates are at the Mets at 7:10 Eastern. Priester versus Carrasco. Bang that over. 7:45, A's and Cardinals, J.P. Sears versus Mikolas. Angels and Rangers, 8:05 Eastern, Sandoval versus Scherzer. While the Royals host the Mariners, who are suddenly back in the wild card hunt, Logan Gilbert and Brady Singer. 8:40, Diamondbacks at the Rockies, Chris Flexen on the bump. And at 9:40, you got the Orioles and the Padres. Grayson Rodriguez, young right-hander, will go head-to-head on the left coast versus Yu Darvish. The late pitch tonight, pretty good matchup, pretty good series. The Tampa Bay Rays are at the San Francisco Giants. We'll see those Giants starting on Friday for alumni weekend at Truist Park. Tonight, the Rays will send Tyler Glasnow, who's been on the shelf for several days, appears ready to roll. San Francisco going to a bullpen game. Ryan Walker will be the opener. Take a real quick look at the standings in Major League Baseball as we head in to this week and the home stretch. The Atlanta Braves are 75-42, just 45 games left in the Major League Baseball season. 11 games in front of Philly, 14 in front of Miami, 22.5 in front of the New York Mets, and 23 in front of the Washington Nationals. NL Central looks like this. Milwaukee has kind of opened their lead up with a 3.5 game lead on the Cubs and the Reds. The Dodgers pounding the NL West into submission, 8.5 in front of the Giants, 12.5 in front of Arizona. San Diego with the eyes on the wild card now, 15.5 back. American League, Baltimore 3 in front of Tampa, 8 in front of the Toronto Blue Jays. While tonight's opponent, the New York Yankees, sit at the bottom, 13 out of first place. American League Central, Minnesota 4.5 in front of Cleveland, 8 in front of Detroit. And the AL West could be a fun one down the stretch. Texas has a 2.5 game lead on Houston. You look at the wild card standings in the National League. Philadelphia has the number one slot for the wild card at 65-54. The Giants are a game and a half back of Philly in the number two slot, while the Marlins are holding on for the third slot. Marlins sit in front of the Cubs by a half game, along with the Reds, 2.5 in front of Arizona, 5.5 in front of San Diego. The American League wild card looks like this. Tampa Bay has the first slot in the AL wild card, while Houston is 2.5 back of Tampa with the second slot. Toronto sits 5 behind Tampa in the third and final AL wild card spot. On the outside looking in, Seattle 1.5 out, Boston 3 out, and the Yankees 5. The Angels are 6.5 out, and Cleveland way back at 8.5. And the Associated Press Writers' Poll is out, college top 25. The Georgia Bulldogs, 60 of the 63 first place votes. Bulldogs ranked number one in the country. Michigan number two, Ohio State 3. Michigan receiving 2 number ones, and Ohio State receiving 1. Alabama and LSU round out the top 5. Other teams of note, Penn State 7, FSU 8, and Clemson 9. Tennessee Volunteers are number 12, while Notre Dame is number 13. Oklahoma Sooners, 20th in the country. North Carolina, 21. While Ole Miss is 22, and Texas A&M, 23. The Tulane Green Wave, they are number 24 in the land. One of the most disturbing stories in sports in quite some time, Major League Baseball has launched an investigation into Tampa Bay Rays shortstop Wander Franco. The team placed Franco on the restricted list after social media posts questioned the alleged nature of a relationship between Franco and a 14-year-old woman. Franco, 22 years old, did not make the trip with the Rays to San Francisco, where they begin a 3-game series Monday. Teams can use the restricted list, which takes a player off the team's roster and is typically unpaid for a variety of situations, including potential legal matters. A statement released by the team, quote, "The Tampa Bay Rays and Wander Franco have mutually agreed we will go on the restricted list and take leave from the club for the duration of the current road trip," unquote. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com/Braves Country.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Well, the season's finally here, and the players.
The Armchair Quarterbacks are back. Saturday, September 9th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., you'll be tailgating with the Armchair Quarterbacks. Mac McGee, Brian Snow, Joey Antones, and the rest of the Armchair Quarterbacks live, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Saturdays this fall. Talking college football, SEC, ACC, Big Ten, the NFL, fantasy football advice, and our picks against the spread. It all begins September 9th, right here on Braves Country HD and 99.1 FM WQEE.
Yeah, the Armchair Quarterback, the All-American Man. Well, the season's finally here, and the players hit the field.
Welcome back!
Feels like a boy, and every wife could kill. He's been flying here since August.
How about him? the college football top 25 out. That's all the dental hold. And the AP top 25 in the coach poll came out earlier. But if you missed that real quick, Georgia is number one. No shock there. Michigan 2, not a big shock. Ohio State 3 and Alabama 4. I personally probably would have had Alabama a tad higher, but does it really matter? No, they're going to face each other. They're going to wipe each other out one way or the other, and it is in their hands. LSU's number 5. Now, what's interesting about LSU is that if LSU goes out and gets a big win on Sunday, September 3rd, the first week of the season, against number 8 Florida State, LSU's going to jump a couple of teams. Like it or not, if LSU, an SEC team, wins a primetime game, they're going to catapult over Alabama, I would think, and probably over Ohio State. They'll be number 3. They could even possibly jump higher. They're not going to unseat Georgia, I don't believe. It would take something catastrophic for Georgia to fall out of the first slot. They would have to look really bad. I mean, really bad, considering the fact that you look at the Georgia Bulldog schedule, and it is Cupcake City. You've got the first game of the season, UT Martin, 6 o'clock on a Saturday night. They're the defending 2-time national champions. That is the only reason why that's being televised. And it's not even being televised on a major network. That's kind of a big deal. UT Martin, Georgia is going to be on SEC Plus. The second game, Ball State. The third game, they may get it. We'll see what South Carolina has. I know they finished well. I'm excited to see what South Carolina has this season. Spencer Rattler coming back, the whole nine yards. Another year under Beamer. But you got to see it. There used to be some really good games early in the season, Georgia, South Carolina. I can remember early in the season, Georgia, South Carolina, it didn't matter who was the more hyped team in the polls. You could almost bet that game was going to come down to one score. Now, that has gone by the wayside in recent years, but that's a fun one. If it was in South Carolina, I'd give the Gamecocks a chance to cover the spread. I don't think they have much of a chance of winning that game, but somebody does, because CBS has already put that as their September 16th CBS game of the week, 3:30 kickoff. After that, Georgia's playing UAB. They go to Auburn. What a weird time to go to Auburn in September. What the hell's going on? Georgia-Auburn used to always be in November. So they got at Auburn and then home against Kentucky, Vanderbilt. They should wax Florida. I know it's a rivalry. You can never assume that, but Florida, unless we are just absolutely wrong about this, them getting old Jack down from Wisconsin is not a game changer for me. And then you look at the rest of their schedule, Missouri. The stumbling blocks outside of the Florida game, I'm just going to put that on the shelf. The stumbling blocks for the Georgia Bulldogs this year to me, outside of the SEC championship game and obviously outside of the playoffs, South Carolina is going to be the first litmus test. They should handle Auburn, so I'm not going to put Auburn there yet. The only other thing that you've got to worry about if you are a Georgia Bulldog is you've got back-to-back games in November at home against Ole Miss and at Tennessee. If they live up to their hype, that could be tough. Outside of that, I'm not seeing it. We got Tones coming in out of the bullpen, and let me go ahead and get him queued up here as we are talking some football. And let me see what we got here. I think I hit the right one. Ha! Hold on. Got to get the logo down. And you got to get that logo down. Good Lord. Tones, how the hell are you?
Good, brother. It's a Monday, and we got a lot of good stuff to talk about. So always a, you know, interesting Monday after the weekend, and it'll be just that. Are the Braves done scoring runs from Saturday?
Yeah, well, they must be, because they didn't score enough to win last night. So
yeah, I saw
when Yanni
that.
Cheerios is on the mound, you're going to need a little something stronger than a bowl of Cheerios. I can tell you that right now.
I did see last night, but how incredible was game one Saturday? It seemed like everyone was getting in on the slugfest. Even Nicky Lopez, the youngster who's from my hometown, actually, was killing it.
Well, he's in the lineup tonight because of cramping by Ozzie Albies last night. At least that's how it was termed. I've noticed some of these Braves writers, they're being very careful in saying that they don't believe it. What they are saying is, as it was termed last night, Nicky Lopez is in for Ozzie Albies for cramping. That's how I saw two writers put it in almost verbatim. As it was termed last night, Ozzie Albies left because of cramping. A lot of folks aren't believing. A lot of folks think that the hamstring might be more of an issue, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens, and I'm definitely excited to see Nicky Lopez play, as I said, from my hometown. He actually went to high school where my aunt worked, so he knew him pretty well. Just a cool kid and a good story. So,
well, he's been popular so far. First of all, not only outside of that game, he's come in to pinch run. It seems like he has fit into the clubhouse instantly. And he gets the start tonight, so you get a chance to watch him tonight if you missed him on Saturday. But yeah, he was 4 for 6, even through an inning, a scoreless inning.
So, yep, 4 for 6 with a scoreless inning pitch.
Now,
so
granted, I want to calm Braves fans down about that game. We went 21-3. Alan Winans looked incredible. I get it. I saw some Braves fans at me this morning going, why'd they send Winans back down to the minors? He looked great. See, it's 7 innings. Shut him out. Let's go. We were playing the double-A team of the New York Mets. They benched almost everybody in that first game, everybody that they could. The veterans played that night. So we didn't get a true test of what Winans was in that first game. And that was done basically because the Mets are out of it and they're trying to keep everybody healthy. They don't care if they win. They want to win, but they're not going to kill themselves on a doubleheader. And that's how that came about. Not taking anything away of what Nicky did, but I'm saying when everyone gets crazy and goes, man, Winans went 7, shut him out. I think he had 9 strikeouts. Yeah, but he also, yeah, he's looked good in the minor leagues too, which is exactly what he did on Saturday. He played a minor league game at Citi Field is what he did. But I'm in full agreement. Get his butt back up here and get rid of Cheerios. I've had enough of that. That is just brutal. I mentioned it last week, Tones, that I thought that it would be a wise thing to have Cheerios pitch on short rest on Saturday, get him 1 to 2 times through the lineup, because he's not worth a hoot in the lineup the second time through anyways, and let Winans pitch either the Saturday second part of the doubleheader, which is what I would have went with, and let Strider pitch the Sunday night game, give him an extra day of rest.
Yeah, I think I would have liked that as well, you know, especially with Yanni never really making it too deep into a Braves game. Yeah, he surely could have pitched on a short day's rest, I would believe.
Once you see him the first time through, they start getting him to him the second time through. Sometimes he gets a little fortunate and dances out of danger, but that third time through, it's a disaster.
And let's be honest, if the Rays need arms, and if they're letting you go when they need arms, probably not the best sign. But I will say, not a bad nab by the Braves, just because, you know, it is an innings eater that they're throwing out there. You could have worse. You could have Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah, well, I don't know which is worse, man. They're both soft tosses. You know, when people wonder why starting pitchers and then why aces make so much money, this is why. Because not everybody can do this. If you took your best reliever, think of the best reliever on said team, and you turn that guy into a starter, he's getting crushed the second and third time through the lineup.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why I, you know, the old saying, although I don't firmly believe it, McGee, but what's the saying? Bullpen guys are wannabe starters or once upon a time starters, something like that.
Well, yeah, the failed starters or whatnot. They're also, in today's day and age, bullpen guys usually throw hard stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we, yeah,
exactly. The biggest thing with the bullpen guy, and essentially that's what Yanni is at this point, they've got two pitches. So mm-hmm. when you've seen them the second time through, they might have a third one, but it's not a very good one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once you see them a second, third time through, you're picking up on, well, there's the fastball. Up, there's the sinker. Up, there's the slider. And yeah. it's very nice of folks to call what Yanni Chirinos throws a slider. It doesn't slide. I want to call it a floater. It floats over there. It's much like Soroka's slider that they mm-hmm. say slides. Sliders never, when I was going, you never called something went 82 miles an hour a slider.
Yeah, and when you look at it, some of the top closers or bullpen arms in the game started out as starters, and Aroldis Chapman, Arizal Iglesias with the Reds, and then Adber Elzeloy with the Cubs. These are top bullpen guys right now who were starters at one point but only had a limited arsenal, and now they're very good relievers.
Absolutely. Well, look, we're right at 420, so smoke them if you got them. Let's reset real quick, Tones. When we come back, Bills Mafia. Tones is going to grab him by the horns and take us into Buffalo Bills Day, baby. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country.
Let's go.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill. Each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill. Each and every morning, right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Well, you can try the public pool, but...
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your suggestion.
We're out of here.
Yeah.
Let's go. Sir, I cannot believe that just happened in this day and age.
I know. I can't believe there's such a big list.
Mm-mm. Don't you get it, dude? They'll always be at capacity for us. He called us lower class.
He called us lower class? Yeah, but I wouldn't argue with that, dude. We're definitely lower class.
Well, yeah, I'm not disputing that fact, dude. I'm saying we shouldn't get boxed out.
Honestly, I just want to go swimming. Should we suck it up and go to the public pool?
Ugh, gross, dude. I will not go to that disgusting public pool.
People there are gross.
Let's get out of here.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer.
Welcome back.
The All-American Man. With a cool one
in his head. Your Atlanta Braves will be starting a three-game series against the New York Yankees tonight. Remember when that used to be big? Yankees, just a couple of games over 500. They're still in the playoff race. Let's not act like this is some bum team coming in to face the Braves. They're just not where they're normally at, where they're usually looking down at everybody else in the AL East.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Exactly. I was agreeing with you absolutely 100%.
If this one wants to make everyone feel just a little younger, not. Derek Jeter will attend Yankees Old Timer Day for the first time when they honor the 25th anniversary of the 1998 World Series on September 9th. How about that?
It's so interesting seeing all these stars amongst our eyes growing up, suddenly getting inducted into legendary games, Ring of Honors, Hall of Fames, and then all their sons taken in the drafts. It's really crazy.
Yeah, they're like, just looking at Derek Jeter being referred to as old timers, I'm like, really? Really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
They got to come up with a different term. By the way, what is your take on this Franco story? Wander Franco, you see this?
Yeah, it seems like one of those crazy stories going on right now. And I'll say this, a lot of circulation and news going on out there. It doesn't seem ideal, obviously, that's to say the least. I will say I've seen a couple different speculative stories. And this girl, if you find her on Instagram, she's followed by quite a bit of MLB players. I think the count was 20 or more MLB players. So
that ain't good. That's not helping the story, I can tell you that right now.
It's one of those things that's going to be interesting, and for better or worse, it could be obviously for the worst case for Wander, he's done in a Rays uniform. The best case for Wander, it's a hoax and a money grab, and there's more to come out. But either way, the Rays hate this right now. You know the Rays are a franchise that like to stay under the radar. They like to stay under the table. And the fact that right, wrong, or indifferent, they got to go through this Wander Franco stuff in the middle of one of their most historic seasons. And with all the injuries they're dealing with already, this isn't good for the Rays, regardless of the outcome. So we'll see if what happens, for better or for worse. It's not a good situation at this given time, and innocent till proven guilty. I'm going to say that for Wander, and if it is a story,
not a good look, because you can use all that word salad with the innocent proven guilty thing. I'm not directing this to you. I'm talking about the Tampa Bay Rays. That picture, did you see that picture of him and her canoodling?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good look. She is in eighth grade.
Yeah, it does look outdated.
Why are there 20? You said there's 20 MLB players
that follow her, jeez, something like that, including that Marlins young pitcher Yuri Perez, the kid they called up a couple weeks back, I believe.
20.
Regardless, it's just
follow
a shame.
Her on what, Instagram or something?
Mm-hmm. Instagram. It is a shame, and I'll just say this. I hope, like you said, I hope, it doesn't unfold where it comes to unfortunate conclusions and situations. But it doesn't look great right now, and we'll see where it leads. And he's not making
putting it mildly. It's not a good – the other thing was, did I send you the video? I can't play it on air because it's because of the song's copyrighted or whatever. But did you see – was it Friday that he hit the walk-off home run? Mm-hmm. Franco?
I believe it was Friday.
And Tampa Bay Rays had put a video out. I think I saw it on TikTok. I don't remember where I saw it, where I grabbed it at. But they had put a song together with his walk-off home run. And it was about... the theme of it was younger girls singing and whatnot. So like it was like terrible timing. I'm sure they didn't know this was about to come out. But when you put that together, like, oh, it was cringe. Because I saw it shortly after the news came out. So they probably just hadn't had time to tear it down from their feed. But I was like, oh, God, it's like the worst timing in the world to put that song with it. I'll have to relook and hear what the song is again. But anyways, let's go ahead and skip past that. And it's time for the Buffalo Bills Day.
Not over yet, Ted!
All right, Tones, take controls. Tell us what you got here on the Buffalo Bills. I'm here. I got to fix something off the camera.
Yeah, so the Bills have an exciting season ahead, or at least the Bills fans should have an exciting season ahead. When you're looking into Buffalo, probably the second favorite in the AFC behind Kansas City. You can maybe throw Cincinnati up there, but with Burrow, his status, we'll see. A lot of concern surrounding the running back room. But I don't think it's as bad as people have pegged it and plagued it. I'm looking at it as James Cook, a second-year back, who should be a lot more developed, a lot more ready to roll now. They brought in veterans as Damian Harris, Latavius Murray, and Darrington Evans. Damian Harris was an impressive signing to me in general. They were able to steal him away from division foes, New England. And Damian Harris had a lot of nice production the past couple of years, when healthy, I should say. And then Latavius Murray, running back number 3. You look around to the other ends of the spectrum, you got some incredible talent. Stephon Diggs still obviously in the middle of his big contract. Gabe Davis over there. Then they drafted Dalton Kincaid, one of the most highly regarded tight ends in this draft class, to pair up with Dawson Knox. Truly a blessing for quarterback Josh Allen, who did turn the ball over a lot last season. So they're going to have to hope Josh Allen cuts back on turnovers. Surely a guy like him can more so than anyone else. And then you look defensively. They had the tragedy last year, right? The Monday Night Football tragedy where they literally had DeMar Hamlin on the field go down. And he's in a battle right now to make the roster. That's how good they are at safety. A lot of people don't realize that. Jordan Poyer, Taylor Rapp, Micah Hyde. Then comes DeMar Hamlin. So the beloved DeMar Hamlin isn't even a lock to make the roster this year. I don't know if all NFL fans know that. They know of him for the reason, the tragedy that almost occurred. And then you look around their front seven. They bring in a guy like Leonard Floyd to help the pass rush, which could be key because Von Miller might miss, although they do have a legitimate backup in Shaq Lawson for Von Miller. Then they've still got the big boys, Ed Oliver, Greg Russo, and Daquan Jones up front with Jordan Phillips. This Bills team is back, and they added some new names, didn't lose much. And when you look at their schedule, it's really, really, to me, appealing. And a lot of people might say, oh, to me, it's a little tough. I don't think so. Outside of their own division twice in a game like at Cincinnati, I think there's a lot of winnable games. They do play a first-place schedule. It is a little tougher for Buffalo, but they still have the likes of at home against Tampa. They're at home against the Giants. They get the Jaguars at home. They're at the Commanders. They get the Raiders at home. To me, those are all wins, and we really haven't expanded much yet. They get the Broncos at home. Obviously, they get the Jets, Dolphins, Patriots at home. So although they face a first-place schedule, and it could be an uphill battle for Buffalo, a team like the Bills should be able to handle that, fight off that first-place schedule, and find themselves right in the thick of things. As I alluded to earlier, the two biggest things for them this year, to me, will be the Josh Allen turnovers, if he could cut those down. One of the most highly regarded QBs in the NFL, but last year he did have one of the most turnover ratios, one of the highest turnover ratios in the league, I should say. So the Bills are really hoping and keying on Josh Allen to cut that turnover ratio in half. And then really their run game, a lot of people are having concerns, questions, and comments on that right now. It ain't only the 29 interceptions the past two seasons collectively for Josh Allen. It's will a James Cook step up? It's will veterans like Damian Harris, Latavius Murray, and Darrington Evans hold up? So offensively, it does seem like star power on paper, but there seem to be a couple more questions out there than people realize right now. And defensively for the Bills, Von Miller, when is he going to get back out there? He's still not playing in the preseason. He's talking a lot about golfing and his golf game when a lot of Bills fans really just want to know when their big money free agent prize possession from last offseason will get back on the field and pay dividends. So I think really Buffalo is going to lean on their veterans this year. They're going to lean on cutting back turnovers, and they're going to lean on the run game a little bit more than people think. And I think their schedule for being first place, it's a little bit more manageable than people believe. And I think that's why they're going to end up in first place again in the AFC East. Although their division got a lot better, Dolphins added some pieces, Jets obviously got a heck of a lot better, and Bill Belichick is still the coach of the Patriots, so they're always going to be somewhat of a dangerous team when they're coached under Bill Belichick. I just don't think any of those teams still stifle as division foes for Buffalo in terms of first place in the division. Maybe Miami, if Tua stays healthy the duration of the year. I just don't see that happening. We've known what Tua brings to the table by now. I think this division is still Buffalo to lose at the end of the day, and I think they're going to rely on their run game a little bit more than people believe. They drafted a tight end. They brought a lot of veteran running backs, and Josh Allen wants to get those turnovers down. You do that by running the football, keep Josh Allen off his feet all the time. I think James Cook and Damian Harris really take a step in the right direction this year.
I get why they didn't do it, because probably because of his brother. But, man, Dalvin Cook would have made so much sense with the Buffalo Bills. It's just unbelievable. But they're over-under is 10.5 this year, which seems a little low considering everything else you just laid out for us. Especially now that you play 17 games. So what they're saying is the over is what's expected from Vegas is 11-6. And that seems like a good team, but not a very good team. Would you attribute that more to them or the fact that the AFC is just so darn tough?
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head, McGee. I think a lot of people are questioning them in part because of their schedule this year, but I think the AFC is tough. They play some tough NFC teams, so I think that has to be the brim of the 10.5 a little bit more so than the actual Bills themselves.
So the first game, number one, the bullet, as y'all can see on your screen, try to make it a little bigger, but I lose games if I make it too big. But, there's no way for me to really get it much bigger than that. But at the Jets, Monday Night Football, I still think the NFL spit the bed on this. I get what they were trying to do was put Josh Allen versus Aaron Rodgers. But I think what they should have done, because they're going to play each other anyways this year because of divisions, the Jets and Giants on 9/11 on Monday Night Football.
Wow, that would have been incredible.
They screwed up, man. Come on, man.
That would have been not a feel-good moment, but obviously a moment of unity, a moment where a lot of people get together and understand.
I know these are two teams in New York that are playing, but it's the Jets and Giants were affected. Right.
Exactly. Buffalo, don't get me wrong, as you said, they're in New York and, you know, they're still feeling it, but literally Jets and Giants were in the middle of it.
And then just going through won't go through game by game by game, but I'm going to list some stumbling blocks that I see. Obviously, they're division opponents. Miami should be very good. The Jets should be very good. You know, you've got New England, who's probably a road bump for them. But it is a division game. But putting those aside, outside of the division, the stumbling blocks I see in London versus the Jaguars, two very good teams that are going overseas, right? I believe it's in London. It's 9:30. And there's an asterisk on it, so I'm assuming that's what we're looking at. Couple of others that I see where, you know, normally I like to find the tough road games, right? Cincinnati is at Cincinnati. That's a Sunday night game. At Philadelphia, that is in November. That's a Thanksgiving weekend. At Kansas City. At Miami. At the Chargers. They've got some difficult road games. I still think I would take them. If I was going to take this bet one way or the other, I think they get to 11 or 12 wins.
I do too. I think they get to 11 or 12 as well, because remember, as tough as their schedule seems, pretty much in their division, everyone's going to have that little tough of a schedule. So we'll see what happens. And remember, it took the Bucs a little bit to get their rhythm going when they brought over Brady and the boys. It might take the Jets and Aaron Rodgers about a month or so to really gain some traction. I think Buffalo's playing them at an ideal time, week one.
Yeah, you know, and that's another reason why I would have liked to have seen them to wait for this game. I would have liked to have seen this game later in the year when two teams are rolling for the exact reason that you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Jets and Giants doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot except to their fan base, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the standings, it's not a divisional game. It's not a conference game. It's none of that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and that's the other thing. Football is a game of, like, you know, when the matchup's played. Obviously, a lot of people are going to be tuned in regardless. But if you're getting Jets-Giants week one, September 11th, everybody's going to be tuned in. Obviously, football's flying high, so a lot of teams are going to be tuned in. But it's still in the heart of baseball postseason. You best bet if the Cubs are on that night, your Braves are on that night, it's going to draw those fan bases away, right? I mean, me and you have multiple TVs, so might not be a problem for us. But your average Joe out there who has one television, if they're a diehard Cubs fan, diehard Braves fan, diehard Reds fan, they're going to be dialed into those games on that Monday night. Now, if it's Jets-Giants September 11th, they might be flipping the channel back and forth a little bit more. Just for,
what Monday night game are you talking about?
The Bills Jets one. Week
that's
one.
September, though. I thought you were. Okay.
Never mind. I'm saying.
Sorry. I got mixed up because I was looking at October schedule when you start talking about in the hunt. Okay.
Well, not all of us are locked in for the playoffs yet.
I got you. I got ahead of myself. I was because. Well,
no,
I'm,
I mean,
I'm looking at the fact that
as a Bears fan, you could.
October 15th. They're on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
Against the Giants, right?
Mm. Yep.
Kind of a snoreville, to be honest with you. You know, that's not a great matchup. I mean, it is for New York-based fans, but I'm pretty sure October 15th, I'm going to be watching some baseball game.
Yeah, honestly, and that's just that. You know, October for you, definitely. September for a lot of Cubs fans. When it comes down the stretch, some of these primetime games might struggle. I don't think the NFL did the best of jobs in composing a primetime schedule this year. I was looking through it the other night. I've seen Raiders-Steelers Sunday Night Football Week 3. Who's going to be watching that?
Sunday night?
Yep, Raiders-Steelers Sunday Night Week 3.
I guess they just think those brands are bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they had that, was that Christmas Eve, I guess it was, last year? Raiders and Steelers, where it was in Pittsburgh, and they were somebody's jersey got retired or something. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was Christmas Eve. And
yeah, you're right on that. It was.
It was a snow game or a snow e game. Not quite a snow game, but it was a cold ball. It was a boring game. But I think they got decent ratings. I think they're leaning on that. That Steelers Nation, Raiders, right? They're going to come to the TVs. But I'm with you. After what you just told me, that's kind of a snooze on a Sunday night. Jeez.
And let me confirm if this is...
You said that's week three?
Yep, and we do have a little bit of breaking news here in the NFL, McGee. Not that it's...
47 guys are following that same girl on Instagram. No,
yeah.
No, that's not it.
Not quite, but the Cowboys... era is over for Ezekiel Elliott. He's officially signing with the New England Patriots.
Oh, that poor bastard.
So he's going to be ran into the ground a little bit
so
more
by
Bill
Belichick. Never to be heard from again. What little chance you might have thought he could bounce back fantasy-wise, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
3 carries a game, maybe he'll average.
Yeah, you never know. And Bill Belichick's weird.
He'll have 2 outings where he gets double digits, and he'll find the end zone once or twice, and everyone's going to go rushing out there on the waiver wire, and it's just going to dump your team.
And let's remember, yeah, exactly. He'll have 1 huge game out there, and everyone will be drooling. Let's remember, they liked Ramondre Stevenson enough to let Damian Harris walk.
All right. Let's get to it. The Buffalo Bills, we already said the over-under's 10.5. What we want to know from you, Tones, is what is their what's their record, and are they playoff bound?
I'm going to put their record at 12-5, although the schedule's tough. I'll highlight their 5 losses. I have them losing quick since there's only 5 of them. I have them dropping
Tampa Bay. That,
I wish I actually – well,
they're actually
going
to lose to Tampa Bay 3 times that night. That's just, I've done the math.
Yeah, when we take the lead, when we come back, and then in overtime. But actually, I think they're going to lose at Philly. I think they're going to lose at Kansas City. Tough back-to-back stretch there. I think they dropped the last game of the year at Miami just because I don't think it's important to them. And then I got them dropping at Cincinnati. And then I also have them dropping at New England. They always have a little bit of trouble there. Outside of that, I think they have 12 victories on their schedule. I think they go 12-5. I think they come in first in the AFC East. And I think they come in second in the AFC overall behind the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they have an incredible season, a tremendous season. Josh Allen gets them to the playoffs. I think they fall short in the AFC championship game I'm going with, but I do.
We'll do all the final predictions the week of the season. This cool. is just kind of getting an idea. But basically what you're saying is you think that they're going to be rocking and rolling again. I've got them 11-6. And it's not that I think they're lesser than this year. I just think that division is much more difficult. You could make the argument, if Mac Jones can find himself, that would be the best division of football.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because yeah. I don't believe that, I don't know if I buy into that. But Dolphins, Jets, and Bills, they could all be playoff teams.
Yeah, and you look around the rest of the NFL and the AFC in general – and the AFC last year, you could say that about the couple divisions. Now the only division you can maybe make the case for is Baltimore, Cincinnati, and maybe Cleveland or Pittsburgh. But other than that, that AFC division by far the best and most strongest right now.
They do have a tough road. I can tell you one game they're not going to lose after watching the highlights this weekend. Denver? Good Lord.
What is Sean Payton doing?
I don't know, man, but we're showing the highlights this morning on one of those shows. And anyways, he was getting pummeled. He finally got it together and put together a couple of passes in one drive because they left Russell Wilson in like the entire first half. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of the first half, he finally put it together and they scored a touchdown. But I didn't watch that game. It was probably against the scrubs at that point. It's just like when everyone's jumping up and down because Alan Winans goes 7 innings of shutout ball against the Double-A Mets. That's what we saw from Les Ride, Bronco Country. What's his name? Russell Wilson. God.
Yeah, Russell Sierra.
Nothing has changed. I'm not saying that. That Peyton can't get something out of Wilson eventually. But right now in week 1 for the preseason, it looked like the same crap that we watched last year on a couple of Monday night's games, a Thursday night game. He is the reason that Al Michaels was ready to freaking retire. He was like, I'm out. These games are getting awful.
And let's be honest, at least regarding primetime, since we're talking about a quick – I think they do end up beating the Bucs, but I'm happy my Bucs play them on a short rest Thursday night football. To me, that helps the Bucs' chances of winning that game, possibly.
Yeah. And they're playing right after New England. They're not a great team. New England, it's a divisional game, so it's a little more physical.
They're going to beat them up. They're going to beat each other up.
And it's a Prime Video game.
Oh, wow. Yay.
Thursday night football.
Thrilling.
Which we will be bringing to you come November.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, Mondays and Thursday nights we'll be bringing. I haven't gotten with Tones yet because we haven't figured out his schedule, but hopefully Tones can be with us for quite a few of them.
I definitely will be, and I love it, man. Postseason baseball, NFL football, slowly turning into the best time of the year.
Yeah, and the other game plan will be to try to bring quite a few Falcons games on Sundays, but all that starts in October because there's just, for some reason, I'm only one person, and I can't be in three places at once, so, you know.
Wait, you can't?
Yeah, well, I try. Sometimes I'll be doing a Braves game and I'll be giving someone a play-by-play of what's going on in Philadelphia. But, you know, it's called magic. All right, let's put a cap on that sucker. So I got them 11-6. You got them 12-5. We'll get into who wins that division, I guess. I guess it's not next week because that would be college football. It would be the week after with the National Football League. But, or 2 weeks. What are we? We are a week. Well, we're what, 12 days away from the first week zero college football. We are 2 weeks from Saturday is the first real Saturday of college football where everybody's playing. So that is the week that we'll do all our college football predictions. And then the following week, the NFL gets ramping up and we'll do all our NFL predictions.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that. All right. Let's go ahead and switch gears real quick and jump into our college football realignment draft. And if you haven't followed this, well, I don't know how to explain it to you now because we're in the middle of it. But we're basically turning college football upside down. And what we're essentially doing, four of us, Tones, Joey, Bobby and I have taken on our own four conferences. We're all commissioners. We're going to have a fun little competition with this throughout the year and probably for years to come. But Tones has the Big Ten. Bobby has the SEC. And because those names are taken, Joey has the National Conference and Notre Dame for a national, you know, they're the national team, right? Tone says Big Ten and Penn State, and I've got Florida State in the Dixie Conference, Bobby Florida in the SEC. Off of that, we drafted three more teams. That's our core four. And we're building off of them now. We're going to have a total of 16 teams in each conference. And those that aren't in, they'll be set up to try to compete with relegation because we will be relegating these teams after the season's over. All right. Tones. Your core four that won't change ever is, I think it's a pretty solid core four. You got Penn State, you got Michigan, you got the Washington Huskies, and you got Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You added TCU. What is your next pick in the college football draft?
I'm going for a little bit of history. I'm going with Wisconsin. I'm keeping Wisconsin where they belong in the central region. And really, they've had some good history over the years, a lot of good draft picks over the years, and a lot of good winning football seasons. They're ranked in the top 25 coming into this season. I think they helped me make a strong conference this year. I'm going with Wisconsin in my conference.
What are you hearing about them this year?
I'm thinking their quarterback developed a little bit more. He was young the past couple of seasons. He's going to be a veteran now this year. So look for turnovers to go down. And really, last year, they were 7-6, but it was a better 7-6 than people thought. They started off slow, ended well. I think they're really going to be good running the football this year, play turnover-free football. I don't think they put a ton of points on the board, but I think they're really stellar defense. They play some nasty Big Ten football. I see about eight to nine wins in their future.
All right, so that takes it to me. I'm double-checking. I want to make sure this team isn't taken. I guess I'll just have to blurt it out, and if it's taken, I'll look through. I'm pretty sure they're not taken. But I'm trying to keep somewhat in my region, but there's going to come a point in time where you're like, I'm not taking a crap team just to stay right next to me, right? Mm-hmm. So let me go with the Texas A&M Aggies.
Mm.
I think they'll eventually fire Jimbo Fisher and our conference will be much stronger.
I like that pick. I was thinking about them, but like you said, I want to show a little bit of love for the Big Ten or for the Central Conference. That's why I leaned with Wisconsin, just to, you know, keep some home.
Well, the thing about Wisconsin, the one thing you know is that they're normally a pretty good program.
Exactly. That's why I went with them in Michigan, and I have Penn State, of course. I'm trying to get the cream of the crop outside of Ohio.
You got another pick today. What is it?
I was going back and forth with this one as well, McGee, but, you know, they're consistent. I'm going to stick with the Big Ten. I'm going to go with Iowa. They come into the year ranked 25th, and they play good defense every year, good special teams every year. Give me the Hawkeyes of Iowa.
Well, considering the fact that the algorithm that I'm putting up, I'll eventually share it to y'all, but it's all based on you know, how you do that year. But it's essentially rankings, wins, how you do in the postseason, all that stuff's going to be piled in on, and we'll compile all the points at the end of the year, and that guy's going to have himself a really crappy trophy that I find.
Hey, it's cool. One man's gold.
Give a thumbs up. Look at you. You look what you did. But and McGee, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be fun talking points going forward. We're doing the same thing in the NFL with Doug, Steven, and I. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I'm more interested in the college one. But in the NFL one, we're only doing a total of 24 teams. So there's 8 teams that are relegated. So there's going to be some meat on the bone each. The one thing I will say about this with the NFL one, the draft will probably be a little more interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, college football just at this point in time especially feels a little bit more realistic, right? Not that this is going to happen, but given all the change-ups and stuff, I think that's why it's a little bit more fun too, because you can see some of this happen.
Well, I'm just – with the NFL – you make this argument with basketball, definitely. Hockey. And there's years where baseball I can make this argument too. I like the idea of a relegation. I like the idea that you would have a lower league competing to get up to the higher league, and that the top league, whatever sport we're talking about, doesn't want to get relegated. So that is the one thing back in the day when Big E was with us and he would talk soccer and we would go on and on about what – I'd be like, soccer sucks, and he'd be like, no, it doesn't. We'd go back and forth. The one thing we always agreed on was that the relegation thing is really cool because mm-hmm. you have an interest in your craptastic team not sucking so bad that they're one of the worst.
Mm-hmm. And that's what my buddy said. He played football in Germany, and my buddy said it's the same over there. If you come in last place, you get bumped down a conference. If you win a championship, you get moved up.
And it would make it really interesting. Take Major League Baseball, for instance. Teams like the Mets, teams like the A's, they wouldn't be selling off.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be trying to find a way to stay on because whatever television network you're on is going to get really ticked off that you're no longer one of the top, we'll say, if 2 teams in baseball got relegated every year.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to do at least 2, or there's kind of pointless to do it.
I think so. Yeah, because you can't just do 1, really.
The NBA, in theory, they could relegate about 10 of those teams every year. You'd have so much more talent in the NBA if you didn't have the 10, you know, bottom feeders.
Absolutely. I agree with that. I mean, they're a bad year in and year out pretty much as well.
All right, so we got those under control. So you took Wisconsin and Iowa. I took Texas A&M. Tomorrow, Joey will have a couple of picks. I'll have one. And trying to do this as fair as possible. Come Friday, Bobby will have 6 because we're trying to get it as fair as possible because he was one of the last ones to pick. So for it to even out, he's going to try to beat us with the overall deepness of the conference, whereas we've got some of the bigger dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bobby, I like his conference. He's still got a Clemson in there and some other little
guy.
He's got
LSU too, doesn't he, or no?
I believe so, yes, sir.
Let me see. I know he's got – Florida won't be good this
year.
And
Oregon he has too. That's not a bad
one. Florida won't be good this year, but normally Florida's good. Yeah, he's got mm-hmm. Clemson, LSU, Oregon. And then outside of that, I really like the Oklahoma, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Oklahoma long-term, North Carolina and South Carolina for this year.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping Oregon was still there. I thought that was a good pick by him he made.
Yeah, he's I mean, right now, the laughingstock is the National Conference of Joey. I like Notre Dame and Ohio State and USC. Then he went to Louisville, and the wheels fell off in Utah.
Yeah, Utah, you know, if he picked a strong Louisville team, I like that Utah pick a little bit more. But, you know, that Louisville one was just a little bit of a conundrum for sure.
Well, he'll have the first two picks tomorrow because I'm going to try to give him a fighting chance to even out this team. So, you know, maybe he's just a closet Louisville Cardinal fan. I don't know.
What if they tear it up this year, like, man?
You do understand we're not talking about baseball, right? What is your lock? We're running out of time. Man, this thing jumped on me quick today.
It is. My lock of the day today for that reason is going to be the St. Louis Cardinals -1.5 home against the Athletics with Miles Mikolas on the bump tonight.
All right. I'll probably take I'm staying away from the Braves tonight, coming back on that trip. Let me get give me Max Scherzer and the Rangers -1.5 at home against Sandoval and the Angels. We got a jam. Stay tuned for the Brian Snow Show. We'll see you first pitch, Braves Country HD, 720. And let's go and get on out of here. Have a good one, y'all.
You too, brother.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
September, something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Gonna get another cigarette and go.